From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Simon Marks with The Week in Review, and the week ended with big developments on both sides of the Atlantic. In the US, the White House was hit by jobs numbers that were far worse than expected, and President Biden conceded they demonstrated the country still faces a tough climb back to prosperity. Economists thought 1 million jobs would have been created in April. In fact, the number was only 266,000. At the White House, Press Secretary Jen Psaki engaged in the time-honored reaction to bad economic news, telling reporters not to sweat a single monthly data point.
We have to look across a span of time and not overanalyze one particular month. Across the course of 3 months, there was an average of 500,000 jobs that were created.
In the UK, the path back to normalcy brought new guidelines on international travel this summer for people from England hoping to get away from it all. They can do so in Portugal, Gibraltar, Israel, and 9 other destinations without having to quarantine on the way back into Britain. But the pickings on that green list are relatively slim. And as FSN's Ollie Barrett reported, the country's transport secretary warned that navigating airports won't be much fun either.
He said that there would be checks for everyone coming into the country, but he did say passengers should still expect times at the border to take longer than usual.
Britain's opposition Labour Party took a hammering in local elections, losing more than 100 council seats and losing a parliamentary seat that had been continuously occupied by Labour since 1974. Prime Minister Boris Johnson made haste and travelled to Hartlepool, celebrating his party's victory in the by-election there.
People wanted change, and they wanted someone who was going to help deliver for Hartlepool as part of our vision for the whole of the North East.
Very odd choice of music on that Conservative Party video. The US formally backed proposals temporarily to waive intellectual property rights on COVID-19 vaccines, but the pharmaceutical industry opposes it and says it won't have the impact its proponents expect. The US decision came amid rising public concern over the COVID-19 crisis in India. Our Delhi bureau chief, Neha Punia, still chronicling that.
India's total COVID-19 tally crossed the 20 million mark on Tuesday, with the country having added more than 7 million cases in the last 2 weeks alone. Now, opposition leaders, trader bodies, and health experts are all calling on the government to impose a full nationwide lockdown.
Benjamin Netanyahu failed to form a government in Israel. Opposition leader Yair Lapid is now being given the chance. Police in Rio de Janeiro were accused of the summary execution of suspected drug traffickers after a shootout in a favela left more than 25 dead. And Peloton recalled its treadmills over safety concerns. From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN. Despite those disappointing jobs figures in the US, the Dow rallied to end the first week of trading for May. Attentions are now turning to key inflation indicators due out in the week ahead. From FSN's business desk in New York, Sarah Walton with the preview.
First quarter reporting season is drawing to a close, with a number of companies revealing profits far higher than expected. Next week, traders will be watching results from the Walt Disney Company, Marriott International, and Tyson Foods. Meanwhile, April's Consumer Price Index is set to be released on Wednesday. It's a closely watched indicator for inflation. Analysts say some investors are sceptical that inflation linked to the US government's economic stimulus bills will be temporary, as has been claimed by the Federal Reserve. And with May now well underway, Wall Street analysts are warning the markets are heading into what is typically a rocky 6 months for stocks.
Former US President Donald Trump learnt this week he will not be allowed to return to Facebook or Instagram, at least for the moment. Facebook's oversight board ruled that the president's posts severely violated the platform's rules, but it also criticized the company. Michael O'Connell is co-chair of the oversight board and announced the decision in a press call with reporters.
Facebook had sufficient justification to suspend Mr. Trump's account. It was improper, that is to say, in violation of Facebook's own rules, as well as generally accepted principles of freedom of expression, for Facebook to make that suspension indefinite.
The board gave Facebook 6 months to come up with some consistent rules. Stories we'll be covering in the week ahead. Will the Pfizer vaccine be authorized for use by 12 to 15-year-olds in America? Will Israel get a government or remain in limbo? And will the COVID-19 wave peak in India? It has not yet. Those stories here and on Twitter at Feature Story. And that is The Week in Review from Feature Story News. Simon Marks reporting.